Good morning. As we get close, actually Thursday, to begin the period of the 3 weeks, which culminates in Tisha B'Av and a mourning for the Beis HaMikdosh, the first bias, the second bias, many other tragedies that also took place. We focus on what lesson can we learn from that? What can we do to correct the situation? Here we are, close to 2,000 years after the second Churban. We're still in Golos. Some people would say we're not doing so bad in this Golos. Other people wonder that, you know, it's still a Golos and seems to be getting worse, not better. What lessons can we learn from the Churban to improve and hopefully to bring about the end to this long and bitter exile? The Chofetz Chaim teaches us that when we look what Chazal tell us as the cause or the immediate or the most significant cause of the Churban, we can then take a lesson and say, hey, if we can correct that which caused this Golos to take place in the first place, then hopefully that will bring about the end of the Golos and the arrival of Mashiach and the return to Eretz Yisrael and Umola Horetz Deos Hashem Kimaim Leyam Mechasim. But there's a comment from the Vilna Gaon which takes this to a whole different level. The Gaon writes that even though the generation of the Churban had many qualities, they were studying Torah, they were involved in Gemilas Chasodim, and then he asks, Mipnei ma churvo, Mipnei sinas chinam, because of the, as the Chazal tell us, sinas chinam, Chofetz Chaim explains that means Loshon Hara, sinas chinam, this petty hatred between people, the Loshon Hara that people would say. But he says like this, that because sinas chinam, he says, is the worst. And the Gaon explains, v'hu mechoyser habitochin shekol hakino v'hasino mimenu, the root of the sinas chinam and the Loshon Hara was the lack of bitochon, the lack of trusting Hashem, because jealousy and hatred all emanate from that. Because if a person has trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he'll take care of him, he'll sustain him, he'll provide him with his needs, he'll provide him beyond his needs, he'll take care of all of his problems, no one can hurt him. Hashem runs, controls, and with kindness, chesed, and rachamim, every detail of our existence. So why should I be jealous? I have what I need. I'll get whatever I want. I have nothing to do with the other person. Why should I be hateful? Somebody hurt me. You hurt me? That's from Hashem. Everything comes from Hashem. It's all for my good. I'm supposed to learn a lesson, whatever the reason may be. So if I have that trust in Hashem, that everything comes from Him, that He does everything, that He's loving and caring and involved with kindness in every detail and aspect of my life, there's no need for jealousy. There's no basis for jealousy. There's no basis for hatred. So the Gaon teaches us that underlying the direct causes for the Churban Bayis Sheni, the Sinas Chinam and Loshon Hara, is really something else. Is a lack of bitochen. The fact that they did not in that generation have the proper level of trust in Hashem, and that was the root cause of the sinas chinam and the loshon hara that took place, which eventually brought about the Churban Beis HaMikdosh. If that's the case, it would seem to me that if we can strengthen the midas habitochen, we will really be correcting the underlying cause for the Golos in the first place, which would be a major step, as the Chofetz Chaim teaches us, in bringing about the end, bringing about the Geula. And not only that, but if we strengthen our bitochen, we too will be able to eliminate the petty jealousies, the petty hatreds, the dislikes that we may have amongst people, because the root cause of that kina and sina is all the lack of bitachon. So I thought we spend a little time today discussing the whole inyan of bitachon, of putting our trust in Hashem, and maybe to describe a little bit what it is, and then to maybe try to suggest some practical etzes how we can actually enhance and appreciate more that concept and that feeling of reliance on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of bitachon in Hashem. Truth of the matter is, there are two major benefits that accrue to any individual who finds the ability to trust Hashem. Number one, menuchas hanefesh, peace of mind. I have a problem? Hashlech al Hashem yehovcha. Take your pickle, throw it on Hashem, for hu yechal kalecha. He'll sustain you. He'll take care of you. So, all of a sudden, I have no problems. Everything's taken care of. Wow, I live in a different world. You know, they tell the story of a rabbi who every Erev Shabbos would go to the president of his shul and ask to borrow $10,000. I'll return it to you by Tzoy Shabbos. This was going on for months. He always returned it. The president didn't have a problem, but he was very curious. What does a rabbi do with $10,000 over Shabbos? So finally he said, Rabbi, I got no problem. We can continue this deal. You know, I'd be as goyel tzedek. But what are you doing with the money over Shabbos? He says, you have no idea how much better the drosha comes out with $10,000 in the bank. That's it. I don't have to worry about anything. Hashem takes care of everything. I got my money in the bank. Nothing to worry. Imagine if a person could feel that I can rely on Hashem to take care of all of my problems. Wow, what a menuchas hanefesh. What a peace of mind. What tranquility. What? No. In fact, you know, Rashi says that the definition of bitochen, shvishavtem lovetach, is shaloi tidagu. There won't be worry. The absence of worry. The absence of anxiety. Our society is plagued today with a magefa of anxiety. Who's not anxious about something? Or about many things? Or about everything? Bitochen Hashem. Hashem takes care of everything. It's His problem. He's kind. He's loving. He's all-powerful. Wow. Number one. And number two, bitochen influences the results of my desires. When a person really wants something, when a person needs something, and even when he wants something beyond what he needs, when he puts his trust in Hashem, that has an influence. That will bring about the desired results. What can be more precious than the ability to influence the future, to achieve the things I want, or avoid the things I don't want, and in the process to live in a state of tranquility, a menuchas hanefesh, nothing to worry about, at peace, no problems, nothing. Everything is in the hands of Hashem. It's an amazing state of being. How do we get there? What do we do? What can we do to try to achieve or to at least work towards a greater level of bitochem? But before we begin, I would like to quote for you from a letter that the Chofetz Chaim sent to soldiers in the Polish army, I assume, to be machazik them, maybe even soldiers in any army, maybe in this, and Mary was talking American army too, and just so happens, I don't have it here. Okay, well, I'll quote, because I know it, I know what he says. He says this, at the end of the letter, he signs off, and he says as follows, Lefi goydel habitochin, kach goydel ha'atzlocha. According to the level of trust, you know, this trust and this trust and this trust. I trust, but a little bit. I 100%. There's no question in my mind. There's levels. He says, according to the level of bitochin, that's the level of hatzlocha. In other words, it's not all or nothing. We shouldn't sit here and think, well, bitochen is a wonderful thing, but if we can't achieve the highest level, we can absolutely certain that everything's going to go exactly the way we want, that we put our total trust in Hashem, and we have absolutely no worry, no anxiety, no thought, no concern about anything, perfect, 100% menuchas ha-nefesh. If not for that, it's all a waste. Not true. The Chofetz Chaim promises, lefi goydel ha-bitochen, kach goydel ha-atzloch. It's not all or nothing. To whatever degree, if I can become a 3 on the scale of 1 to 10 in bitochen, I influence to 3 the results. If I can become a 4, a 5, a 6, a 7, it's commensurate. So therefore, there's hope. There's hope. There's hope for everyone in achieving the midas ha-bitochen. So let's see what we can do to elucidate it a little bit more, and maybe some advice on how to achieve it. On a very, very high level, which is really a goal, not necessarily easily achievable at all. The midas habitochen, that sense of trust in Hashem, can bring us anything and everything we want. And I quote from the Briskerov. The Briskerov writes as follows: Shahakosuv meyid, the Torah, the posuk is meyid, testifies shayidei midas habitochen, through this midas habitochen yochoylim lahasi kol dover. Through the midas habitochen, one can achieve anything. Now again, there's levels. We may not reach the highest, but we can always influence what happens. He says, ke'inyan shenem, he brings the posuk. The posuk says, v'hisaneg al Hashem, v'yitel l'cho misha lo yislipecho. You take pleasure in Hashem, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. And he says like this, bir hadover, this is the Brisker Rav writing here, she'im yiyah bitochen b'Hashem kol kach chozok. If you'll have such a strong bitochen, ad she'tis'aneg al yedei zeh, that you just, I'm in love with Hashem, this is the greatest pleasure of my life, to put my trust in Hashem. It's a feeling, it's elevating, it's transformative. I live in a different world because I have that trust in Hashem. If a person reaches that level, al yedei zeh oz yiten l'cho misha lo yislibecho, he says, He will give you all of the requests of your heart. So on the highest level, it's amazing. Whatever your heart desires. Whatever your heart desires, Yishimale Hashem kol mishalis libecho. If he is misanig al Hashem, if his bitochen is such that he's just enraptured with that relationship with Hashem, that nothing bothers him, nothing to be concerned about, not an ounce of worry, not the slightest concern, total confidence. Now, as we mentioned, that's the highest level, but what we do find from the Chofetz Chaim is that kefi goydel habitochen, kach goydel ha-atzlocha, commensurate. If you can have a certain level of bitochen, to whatever level I achieve, and when we work, we reach higher and higher, more and more confident. You know, it's a very simple thing. You get to know a person, and it's a good person, have a relationship, have confidence. Then you get to know the person a little better. You see what they're ready to do. You see what they've done. The confidence level goes up. Because when I met you at first, I didn't know I could rely on you to that extent. But now I see. There's nothing. And it grows and it grows. And as relationships grow, sometimes confidence also grows. It can grow with Hashem endlessly, to endless levels. But we know that it has great power. Now, there's another step that we should realize, and it maybe makes life a little bit easier if we feel we can't achieve that confidence, meaning trust, I'm sure that you're going to help me, to whatever degree. There's a comment in a sefer that was recently, I guess they found a manuscript from, his name is Rabbi Avram ben Ramoch. He was one of the Sfardish Rishonim, and he writes as follows. The posuk says, my God, David HaMelech said in Kapitel Chof Hei, I put my trust in you. Don't let me be embarrassed. Be embarrassed meaning that I'll be embarrassed because I'm trusting you and you disappoint me. My friends saw that I'm trusting you, and even my friends don't know about it, but myself, I'm embarrassed. What a fool. How naive to put my trust in Hashem and he doesn't respond. That's what David HaMelech asked. So please, Elokai b'chol b'tachti alei v'yisha, don't let me be embarrassed. But then the next posuk says, Gam kol koyvecho lo yevoishu. Even those, also those who put their hope in you. What's the difference between trust and hope? The difference is very simple. Trust is absolute, or at least on the way to I'm trusting you, the confidence, whatever level of confidence. Hope is, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not sure. I don't have this feeling about it, but I know one thing. I sure am never going to give up hope. Never going to give up hope. Chazal tell us, afilu cherev chodo munach al tzavor shel odom al yimnes atzum narachamim. Even if there's a sharp sword on the back of one's neck, don't ever give up hope that Hashem will have rachamim. And we know, it says, Yeshua's Hashem keherev ayin. The Yeshua comes like the blink of an eye. That's all it takes. The blink of an eye. So memela, we know, don't give up hope. I'm not sure what's going to happen, but you're never going to see me giving up. And that gives a certain level of menuchas hanefesh also, because I always has hope. There's always hope. There's always hope. I remember once had a bookkeeper many years ago in Los Angeles. She wasn't a religious lady, but a very nice and very smart lady. And I put on her office in one of those... stick it, those notes, what do you call it? Anyway, put a note on the thing, Yeshua Hashem Kerafayim. And I explained to her what it meant. After a couple of months, she says to me, you know, I get it, but I have a question. Why does he always blink the last minute? The day of the payroll, that's when the money comes in. Why doesn't he blink a few days earlier so, you know, have a little more? So I said, you don't understand. If he blinks early, you'll never know that it's him blinking. It's only when it's the last minute and all else failed. And then he blinks. Oh, we know it's the Rebbeinu Shalalem. So that's the way it works. So he says an amazing thing. He says, not only one who puts his trust in Hashem, do we say to Hashem, he won't be embarrassed. He says, Ela afilo oisam she'enem masigim lohochin liftoech boch bitochen sholem. They don't reach this high level of bitochen, because they're too caught up in the material aspects of life. But despite the fact that they didn't reach bitochen, but they're hopeful. They don't give up hope. They don't give up. You know, they're hoping that you will save them. These people will also not be embarrassed from their hope. Elo, you will answer them and save them. So we see here an amazing thing, that even if we cannot enter the world of bitochen, we can enter the world of hope. That's a little bit easier. Don't give up hope. Oh, it looks terrible, it looks dismal, it seems it's all... It's not all over. Yeshua Hashem keheref ayin, afilu cheref chodo, the sword is on the back of his neck. Don't give up hope. And that, when we have that, it also generates a schus, that Hashem will ta'aneim, will answer them, v'toshiyem, and save them. So even if we can't reach these loftier levels of bitochen, just the ability to maintain the hope has a koyach, not only to give us menuchas hanefesh to a great degree, but even to evoke response to our tefillahs, to our hope, because Hashem does not want even those that hope in Him to be embarrassed. Maisa, we all know, everybody's seen in their own lives, that when they put their trust in Hashem, amazing things happen. Just last night had a session with Menahalim, told him over a story, so it's on my mind now to mention it again. We lived in Los Angeles many, many years ago to establish a yeshiva there in the San Fernando Valley. Things were pretty tough financially. Wasn't a wealthy community, and it wasn't a community that was so, at that point in the mid-70s and 80s, looking for, you know, for what we have here today. And it was a Friday morning after Thanksgiving, and my wife calls me up at 9 o'clock in the morning, and she says she doesn't have fish for Shabbos. So, you know, I'm a smart guy, I give good advice, I say, why don't you buy? She said, which I knew she was going to answer, she had no money. I said, neither do I. And she says, what should I do? And I said, you know what you got to do. You have to be tochen in Hashem. 5 minutes later, young man, then he was a yeshiva bocher in the yeshiva. His name was Saul Kessler. Lives today in Far Rockaway. You could check it out with him. I walks into the office. I say, Saul, where were you? Yesterday, he was learning in the Beis Medrash, post-high school. I say, wait, did you take off Thanksgiving? What's going on? You don't come to learn. He says, no, my father was off, and he wanted to take out the boat, and he had no one to go with, so I went with him. But look what we brought you. Plastic bag this size full of fish. I told this over at a koilil, actually in Queens, a couple years ago. 2 years, maybe. And a guy sitting all the way in the back over there says, but it wasn't gefilte fish. Now, don't ask me what he had in mind. Like, first of all, my wife knew how to grind the fish and make gefilte fish from it. But, you know, so I say, you want gefilte fish? Fast forward 20 years. I'm walking on Central Avenue, and it's about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, on a Friday afternoon. Shabbos must have been about 6. And I get a call from my wife, and guess what? No fish for Shabbos. Now, we went through the same speech that we've been through many times. I have no money. Happy Tochen, that's all. Fine. 2 minutes later, probably less than 2 minutes later, there used to be on Central Avenue a kosher delicatessen, King David, it was called. Mrs. Ross was the proprietor. Mrs. Ross opens the door. They must have been closing already. Rabbi Cohen, come. I said, what's going on? She says, we just started takeout this Shabbos, and I have 2 big loaves of gefilte fish. I want you to take home to your wife to see how she likes it. That's it. He wanted gefilte fish. We gave him gefilte fish, too. But that's it. We put our trust in Hashem. Okay, what can we do to try to see if we can strengthen this trust or achieve this trust in a way that might be practical and helpful to us? So I want to mention just a few points. I found, someone showed me actually recently, a comment from another Rishon, Rabbi Yosef Ibn Yechia. And he writes on the Pasuk in Tehillim, Ani korosicho ki taneini keil. I called out to you because you're going to answer me. And he says like this, Ritzo Loimer, Ato, this is David HaMelech speaking to Hashem, Ato chayav lo hishieni leboit chiboch. You are obligated, Hashem, to save me because I'm trusting you. Should we hear such a thing? Shehu min habizoyon legodol kishelo yoshia hachoyse tachas tzeel kenofof. It's a bizoyon to a great person, to a great one, when you don't save somebody who's taking refuge unto you and wants, I'm coming to you. I'm asking you. I'm relying on you. I'm counting on you to help me. You have to help me. Because if you don't help me, it's going to be such a chilul Hashem. Look at that. He takes refuge in Hashem and Hashem ignores him. He says, David HaMelech says to Hashem that he's chayiv. I don't know where we tell Hashem what he's chayiv to do. You know, you're chayiv, you're obligated to help me because I have bitochen, and if you don't help me, it's going to be a chilul Hashem. That should give us a sense of, hey, you know, if Hashem is obligated, if we work on it, at least we see that it's a serious thing. But how can we work on it? So, I just recently, last week I think it was, in Parshas Chukas actually, there's a Ralbag, Toelos Ralbag, and he says a very strange thing. He says that when Edom refused to allow the Bnei Yisrael to go through its land, and they, Vayet Yisrael Me'olav, they turned the other way. They went a different way. So he says, we learn from here that Sheroi Le'odom Le'fachei Tomid, a person should always be afraid. Strange thing. Always be afraid. He's telling us a lesson. We learn from here. They were afraid. They went the other way. That's why the Torah told us that when they came there and Amon came out ready for Milchoma, they turned the other way. Because they were afraid. Maybe they'll lose the battle. And then he says, they knew Hashem would not fall short to save them, just as in all their wars. So they knew that Hashem was going to save them, yet they expressed fear. What's going on over here? And the Ralbag learns from here that it's appropriate to fear all the time. Unheard of. What does that mean? I think it's very simple. The Ralbag is teaching us as follows. Life has many challenges. And if we're in the path of the midas habitochin, of developing bitochin, we could take the attitude, no, there's no problem, bitochin. No money in the bank, no problem, bitochin. No fish for Shabbos, no problem, bitochin. Bitochin. And he tells us no. First, register the problem. First response should be fear. Hey, there is a problem. There is no fish for Shabbos. There is no money in the bank. Somebody is sick. There is no this, that, the other thing. There's no shidduch, whatever it may be. It says, and then use that as an opportunity to develop bitochin. Because there's a pasuk in Mishlei that says, it's a Mishlei Yud Dalet, B'yiras Hashem Mivtachoyus. In the fear of Hashem lies the strength of bitochin. Which means like this. The Risker Rav actually has a beautiful moshel. He says, a person's walking along, and all at peace, very peaceful, no problem. Somebody behind him with a gun ready to shoot. So he says like this. If he doesn't know that the guy is ready to shoot him, he's not a Baal Bitochen when he's walking peacefully. He doesn't know he has a tzora. But if he knows that the guy has the gun ready to shoot, and still he's a Baal Bitochen, that's a Baal Bitochen. My father-in-law told me that the Brisker Rav told him that when he had to escape during the war, he had to go through a place where there was shooting going on right above his head. Him and his children. And he told them, just focus on Ein. They had to go that way. They had no other escape. Ein oid milvadoi. There's nothing but Hashem. We're totally relying on Hashem because there is no other danger. There is no force. There is nothing. And it would be saved. And they all went through and they all came out. So this idea that not to ignore the reality, but to use the reality to catapult ourselves into a midas habitochen. So therefore, what this really tells us like this. Number one, we shouldn't fool ourselves. Oh, I have bitochen. There's no button that you can press for bitochen. It's a lifetime's work. But it grows. And one of the ways to grow it is not to ignore the challenges of life, but rather use them, focus on them, and say, hey, I have a challenge. But Hashem can take care of everything. And Hashem loves me. And Hashem is Moli Chesed V'Rachamim. And until now, everything that He did for me was Chesed and Rachamim. And I'm going to continue. And use that fear to elevate oneself to the level of Bitoch. In fact, Rabbeinu Yoin at the end of the first Perek in Brochus explains that we have an opportunity to do this 12 times a day. In Shmon Esrei, 3 times a day we bow down. Baruch Atah, 4 times, the first bracha twice, and Moedim twice. Baruch Atah, he says, when you bow down, you express a sense of fear. Standing in front of the Melech Malchi Amlochim. Maybe I'm not worthy of everything that I want. And then Hashem Zekif Kefufim, you stand up straight, you inspire Bitochen. So he says, because the fear is what inspires Bitochen. I think his language is like this. It says, Shekoreh Mar Yirav Afachan, Vahayira Sheyesh Milfonov. If he fears, he will have bitochen, because there's a problem. If there's no problem, there's no. You know, once when the better days in Los Angeles, we inherited a big Yerusha, and for about a half a year, I had about $500,000. This is 40 years ago. It was a lot of money sitting in the money market in the bank. I couldn't daven that year. Because normally at the end of Shmon Esrei, I would say, I need 10 today, I need 20 today, I need 15 today, whatever. So, but that year was like this. I really need 15 today, but if you're not in the mood, I'll just write a check for the money market for $15,000. Couldn't daven. Couldn't have bitochen either. I don't have bitochen. I have guilt. Who needs bitochen? When I don't have, when I realize I don't have, when I have that fear, when I have that concern, that's when I could rise. So we should take advantage of the challenges of life as opportunities to strengthen our bitochen. And it can have such an enormous impact. there's another thing, another eitzah, that can increase bitochen and can increase productivity results. They bring from the Arizal When we say in Shmoneh Esrei, in Semach Tovid, Ki Lishuoscha Kivinu Kol Hayom, for your Yeshua Hashem, for your salvation, we hope all day long. So it doesn't refer to the coming of Mashiach, the way the Mefarshim learn, because we're not hoping for Mashiach all day long. We're hoping for Mashiach every day. It says B'chol Yoyim, you know, Achakelu B'chol Yoyim. But it's talking about all Yeshuas. No matter what the problem is, we hope for the Yeshua. So the Arizal, they bring from the Arizal that he says that when a person says these words, Ki Lishuoscha Kivino Kol Hayoyim, he should Yechaven Shemitzape Yeshua Al Kol Tzora Shanim Tzoboy. He should have kavona that I'm focused on all my tzoras. I'm hoping Hashem will save me from all of my tzoras. And he says, and that for whom mesugul me'oid lahatzola. That's very, very big skula that it could bring him hatzola. It could be saved from his tzoras. So it's another opportunity. We say every day, we say three times a day, l'shuoscho kevino kol hayoyim. That has that ability to, I'm thinking not just about the golos. Many, many problems. They're all part of the Golus, but I have many problems, many challenges. And I think about them, and I'm hoping. Hoping has a tremendous power, and hoping is something which hopefully is in the reach of most of us. It's something that we do have the ability to achieve. But I think in order to practically achieve this, or enhance the achievement, or grow the levels that we have, we have to focus a lot on Hashem's Hashgocha Protis. You know, Hashem deals with us every day with hidden miracles. In fact, Hashem Bechlal hides behind the Teva. You know, nature, or the way of the world is just Hashem's camouflage. He camouflages himself and his hand and his involvement in what seems to be natural courses of events. And when we realize that everything is really beyond Hashem, and nothing is too small, nothing is too insignificant, it can really, you know, take us to a new level. I just want to share with you just a little bit for a few moments, a little bit about this. In my family, personally, from the days in Los Angeles, I think there was a fundamental occurrence, or an occurrence that became the foundation for growth in this area of Bitochen. It was a summer night, and my oldest daughter must have been about 8 years old, and she was 10:30 at night. She was going the next day. She was going to a day camp, and the next day we were going on a trip, and she asked her father for 75 cents. And her father not only didn't have money for gefilte fish, he didn't have money, 75 cents, to give her for the soda. What should I do? You know, it's hot Los Angeles this summer. You don't get what to drink. It's a say to him. I don't know if she enjoyed that advice very much, but she was a good kid, and she sat down with her younger sister. They're saying to him. After a few kapitlach, she says, I don't get it. It's 10:30 at night. I'm leaving at 7:30 in the morning. What's going to change? And the little kid says, maybe something, maybe someone will give you, maybe, I don't know what she said, whatever. She goes to camp without the money. She comes back with a story. She says that morning, a friend of hers who lived in the city 10 miles away woke up and remembered, we're in the middle of the summer now, that at the Purim carnival, she borrowed 75 cents from the Cohen kid. They forgot about it. They never spoke about it. It was gone. That morning, she wakes up, boom, oh, I never paid her back the 75 cents, and she brings it to camp. What my children learned from this, number one, Hashem listens to tefillah. He listens to tefillah. He's involved. Number two, he sends messages 10 miles away from my little room over here to that little girl's sleep when she wakes up in the morning that she should remember something she forgot about for 4 months. And number three, he cares about little things also. 75 cents. Not too insignificant, Frakodesh Baruch Hu, to take care of. When we start, and I believe that this was for them just the beginning of seeing so much of Hashem's Hashkocho in every aspect of our lives. And we have to realize that. And not to let anything go by as, oh, coincidence, oh, it just happened. And maybe I'll conclude with a Maisa Shahoya. It just happened yesterday or 2 days ago. My son told me about it. He gets a call from a very choshev balabas in Los Angeles, actually one of our early students from 40 years ago. And my children, they have a kollel in Yerushalayim. And he says, when one of your yungalai make a bris, I want to pay for it. You know, yungalai learning Yerushalayim, how much money do they have to pay for a bris? So he says, fine. So he heard that this certain person, whatever the name was, had a baby, is making a bris. Fine. He looks at his phone, and he gets the number, and he calls him up. He says, you know, you're making a bris? Yeah. He says, how much is it going to cost? $1,000, whatever. He says, I have the money for you. He finds out a day later that that was the wrong name. He had two names, the same name. This is a guy who had applied to the kollel, but never came, and he didn't call the right one who he was supposed to give the money to. What's he going to do? So he says, should I call the guy in L.A. and tell him, oh, I promised this guy, now I got this guy. And he goes, so I said, no, don't do that. We'll take care of it. We'll find another way. But it's not nice. He said he wants to give one bris. Now are you going to start another bris from him? Well, leave him alone. But then he finds out that the real guy, his bris cost $2,000. So now he said, what do I do now? I said, nope, that you have a right to call him back because he wanted to pay for the bris. You made a mistake. You told him it's $1,000. It was a toes. It's really $2,000. He calls him back. He tells him the story how he made the mistake. So he says, I'm going to pay for both, you know, no question. But he references a story that happened 40-some years before. He says, this is exactly what happened to your parents. He's telling my son. It was a few days before Purim. And I had invited 25 people for the Sudas Purim. My wife calls me the next day, can I serve milchiks? What's up is milchiks? Guess what? I have no money for flesh. I have no money for meat. I go, no, you're not serving milchiks. Don't worry about it. You know what you're going to do. Well, we always do. Fine. Ab bitochen. The next day, a young man walks in with two big cases of wine and a box like this full of flesh. What's the story? Says that a woman from the city, in those days there wasn't supermarkets, the kosher butcher was the wine store and the challah store and everything was all, you know, one place in these out-of-town communities. She walks in, she says, I want to send two cases of wine to Rabbi Cohen for Purim. So the butcher, there were two kosher butchers. And this one, we used to buy from this one, then we went to the other one. And this one hadn't heard from us for 2 years. So she says, well, since I'm sending anyway someone to deliver the wine, this is from the city to the valley, so I'm going to send flesh. Maybe they'll, you know, they'll rejuvenate the business. So the flesh was really for us. But I knew that something was wrong. He brought two cases of wine and the flesh with this story, because the woman who he said sent the wine to Rabbi Cohen didn't know me. She was a prominent woman in the city. I knew who she was, but she didn't know me. So I call her up, and finally we figured out what happened. The butcher shop, Berger's butcher shop, was two blocks away from a shul called Shari Tefillah. The rabbi of the shul was Rabbi Simcha Cohen. She walked in, very normal request. She wants to send two cases of wine to the rabbi of the community, to Rabbi Simcha Cohen. She didn't say Simcha, but she just said Cohen. The lady, for some reason, some coincidence? No. Some accident? No. Clearly the Ara Hashem, because we had no flesh for the Sudas Purim, thinks of the Cohen in the valley that she hasn't heard from for 2 years. And since she's sending the wine to the Cohen in the valley, mistakenly, she intentionally sends the... So we had flesh for the whole Sudas Purim and the Shabbos after. The wine, I fought with her finally. She didn't want to take it back. I finally, she took back one case. I had 12 bottles of wine. That was more than enough for me for 25 people. I don't need them to drink anymore. And flesh like this for the Sudas Purim. There are no coincidences. There are no accidents. Every time, if we look at the Yad Hashem, at the Hashgocha Protis that exists in our lives, we will discover Hashem's involvement in all our lives, in everything in our lives, in His Chesed, His Rachamim, His attention to detail, His ability to pull off anything. And that will be a source to strengthen our bitochen. And the more that we strengthen our bitochen, the more we will find, discover, and recognize, and see the Hashgochas Hashem in our lives. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help that we should be able to put in the effort through the challenges of life, through the learning about it, through the tefillos, through the Shmoneh Esrei, through everything that we do, to strengthen that bitochen, to strengthen that, at least the ability not to lose hope under any circumstances whatsoever. And in that schus, not only will we be zeiche to a life of menuchas and nefesh, not only will we be zeiche to Hashlech al Hashem Yehovcha v'hu yechal kalecha, Hashem will grant him inshallah yislibeinu the requests of our heart, but maybe we'll be zeiche that we'll see biyomeinu bikore biyomeinu the end to this bitter golus, and the haromas keren hatoiro, and the bias mashiach tzidkeinu the goyel tzedek b'meiro biyomeinu.